Well, I'm so glad to be back here at Ninth and Main in San Angelo, Texas. As Brother Brian said, I am a second-year student at Brown Trail School of Preaching. Kevin Rhodes is our director. Please pray for us because we are fixing to go into our finals week. This next week, I have one final, and it's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday about leadership. So pray for me. No, it's going wonderful. Can't believe I'm already in my second year at Brown Trail. I truly love preaching God's Word. It has edified me. It has taught me so much in how to be a Christian, how to be a better husband, how to be a better person. And it's all because of this wonderful book we call the Bible. And it's so wonderful that we get to study God's Word, not just tonight, but any time we can open up God's Word and study it, to grow in it, to live it. So if you have your Bibles, would you open up with me to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Also, I'm here with my two children, Hazel and Connor. Hazel is a seven years old, and Connor's three. I want to mention that as well before we start it. I'll be in the doghouse with my kids, and I don't want to be that way. The book of Ephesians, who wrote by the inspired Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Spirit, but what earthly man, what man wrote the book of Ephesians? Paul. Where is Paul at this moment when he's writing? He's in prison, isn't he? He's in prison. And why was he in prison? Teaching the truth. He was in prison for teaching the gospel. He was in prison teaching God's truth. So in the closing of this great book, Ephesians, we know that from verse 10 and following, we know it as what section? The armor of what? The armor of God. The armor of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So again, the Apostle Paul wrote this book. He's in prison. And what empire was in charge at this time? Roman. The Roman Empire was in charge. So here Paul is writing this book to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus, and he is in prison, and who's overlooking him at this time? What? Do you think that the Romans just left him in that room, or do you think they put a guard in that room? They put a Roman guard. So he had a what? A visual aid. A visual aid. And I remember when I was in elementary school, I loved those visual aids. It helped me out so much, and also at Brown Trail School of Preaching. So here, as we start, do you remember in Vacation Bible School, we used to sing, I may never what? March in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery, but I'm in what? The Lord's army. I am looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm also looking at an army. We are, Brother Mike, are we the army of God? We are soldiers. We are soldiers. After you put your Lord and Savior on baptism, yes, you become a New Testament Christian, but you get, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, you enlist in that army. You are a soldier of Christ. At Brown Trail, and I know at Southwest and a couple other schools of preaching in Memphis, we read a lot. We read a lot of books. And we read a lot of books from preachers that have gone on to the wars. And one of them is Brother Wendell Winkler. When we had to go through the book of Ephesians, Brother Winkler's book, we had to read one of his books, and he said, instead of going to a Bible class, we need to go sharpen our swords. What does he mean, that statement? Sharpening our swords. What did he mean by that statement? Study. What else, brother? Being skilled in the world. In the Word. Why should we be so skilled in the Word? Be ready to answer. Do we see the devil? Do we see the devil physically? Everywhere, don't we? We see the devil in sin. That small word, S-I-N, sin. And when you hear that word sin, you should hear the hiss of the what? The serpent. So we hear Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So here Paul is writing, be strong in who? Be strong in Paul? Be strong in the Lord. Who should we be strong in? Should you be strong in Jason Adair? Or should you be strong in Jesus Christ? You should be strong in Jesus Christ. Because did I die for your sins? Am I a perfect person? No, I am sin. I sin from time to time. I stumble. But Jesus Christ lived in this life perfect for you and for me. And also the power of His might. Not Paul's might, but whose, Brother Mike? God's. In verse 11, put on some of the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? Put on all the armor of God. Brothers and sisters, we're in a battle against the devil. And if we go into the warfare, we have seen on the news lately what horrible events in Afghanistan. We have our military. And Brother Royce, if our military go, they're over in that horrible area fighting for our freedom. And that soldier goes over there and he doesn't have the proper equipment, what's going to happen to that soldier? He's going to be injured. Brothers and sisters, we have to do the same thing. We have to be able to have our armor on and we have to be able to fight the devil. Not once a week. Not on Sundays, brothers and sisters. Not on Wednesday nights. But 24/7. The devil is after every one of us. We are like a prize buck in the eyes of the devil. He wants us so bad. I'm going to steal a quote from a preacher that preached in Highway 95 Church of Christ, Royce Williamson. I'll never forget. I remember that Sunday when he said this. There are three votes on our soul. God wants us, the devil wants us, and we, though the third vote. Which are you going to go with the devil or are you going to be with God? You decide. So he says here, put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does that word able mean? The word able. When it comes to that word, what do you think about the word able?
Spiritual strength in that context.
What was that? I'm sorry?
Spiritual strength in that context.
Yes, sir. Spiritual. You will be able. And isn't it a beautiful thing that God, and in brothers and sisters, when you study God's Word, He left us this blueprint, didn't He? He left us His blueprint that we can fight against the devil. He didn't just leave us by ourselves. Yes, He gave us His Son. Yes, we are into this beautiful body called the Church of Christ. But He also gave us the Word of God that we can study at any time and we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the dark ages, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness of the heavenly places. This morning, Brother Mike One of his points, I went, oh no, he's going to steal my thunder. But I'm glad he had that point. Is this, do we fight against each other? Should we? Who's our, when we're spiritually, our spiritual warfare, who is our enemy? The devil. The devil is our enemy. And we have to be able to stand and fight against him. It is so sad when you see congregations that have that once stood firm for the truth and now have drifted away. I grew up in the Lord's church. I love the Lord's church. But when I was 17 years old, I went into the elders' meeting and I said, why are we clapping during the Lord, during singing? Why are we singing during the Lord's Supper? Why are we playing the Lion King during the Lord's Supper? And I looked at the elders, and there were seven of them in there. I was the only one with the Bible. That was a big red flag. Finally, at the end of the meeting, I was not mean-spirited. I came and just asked a simple Bible question. And I'll never forget what one of the elders told me. He said, you know, Jason, I know you grew up in this congregation, but there's Gabriel Oaks Church of Christ down the road. I said, okay, goodbye. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. Why? That's where I met my wife. I met my wife at Gabriel Oaks Church of Christ in Georgetown, Texas. So when the devil, he's defeated. I thought my world had turned upside down. That was the only congregation I have ever been a part of. And when I heard that elder told me to get out, it hurt. I cried like a baby, Brother Mike, because it was my home. And I love those people. But when I placed my membership at Gabriel Oaks and I met my wife, and after we got married, we placed membership at Highway 95 Church of Christ in Taylor, Texas. And that's where I met the Williamsons. And if it wasn't for Royce Williamson, I wouldn't be standing here today. Y'all's elder, y'all's shepherd here in San Angelo, Texas, is the reason I'm standing here today. So the wiles of the devil, we don't fight against. Our spiritual warfare is not against this world. It's against the devil. It's not against, and that's what he's telling here. The darkness of this age, against the principality, the spiritual hosts of the wickedness, of the heavenly places. And what's amazing, and Brother Brian this morning in Bible class was talking about the devil. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus goes to the Jordan and is baptized by who? John the Mercer. John the Mercer baptizes him in the Jordan. And what happens to Jesus right after that? He's carried in the wilderness. And what happens to Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights? He's fasting. He's hungry. And who comes and tempts him? Who comes and says, at Jesus' weak... He thought it was at Jesus' down when Jesus was down, Satan comes in. Not once, not twice, but three times it's recorded that the devil tempted Jesus. And what did Jesus use to fight the devil? The Word of God. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I love Matthew's account, but Luke's account says in chapter 4, verse 13, said, the devil left him for a season. I mean, the devil didn't leave Christ. The devil wanted Jesus so bad, just like he wants you and he wants me. So now, verse 13, says, therefore... And I know there's a lot of preachers in here. When you see the word therefore, what does it mean? Why is it there for? It should be a red flag. Okay, what does this mean? It says, take up the whole armor of God. Wait a minute. What does verse 11 say? Put on. Verse 13, take it up. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. We have to stand. We can't waver. We can't turn our back. We have to stand. We have to put on that whole armor of God. Now in verse 14. Stand, he says again, stand therefore, and having girded your waist with the what? With the truth. We're talking about the armor now. Remember that Roman soldier that's on guard, and Paul is seeing this visual aid, and he sees that Roman soldier and at that belt, that belt, that Roman soldier, and what does he call it? The truth. And also, on that Roman soldier's belt, what did it also carry? What did the Roman soldier put on that belt? The what, Miss Tony? The sword. And later on, we're going to talk about the sword. So here, that belt, we had to put on that belt and that truth. Do we have to know that truth, Brian? We have to know the truth. We have to know the truth. The Bible says, know the truth and sell it what? Buy the truth and sell it not. We have to know the truth. We cannot waver for the truth. We have to stand firm on the truth. When we left this morning to head back to Tony and Royce's house, my wife and myself had a conversation about this congregation. The people at Ninth and Main, and how much we love Ninth and Main. We can see the love. I've only been here a handful of times, but every time I walk into the building, you can feel the love that y'all have for one another. And when somebody comes forward, you can see the love when that person is here and people are still hugging and hugging you after over and over again, even through this horrible pandemic called COVID-19. That love that we have for one another. The truth. Gird your waist with the truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier, what was the breastplate for? What part of the equipment did it protect? The heart. And if I was a soldier, if I was a Roman soldier and I went into battle and I did not have that armor on, what would happen to me? I'm gone. I'm a goner. I have to put on that breastplate of righteousness, correct? And what's that word righteousness mean? When you hear that word righteousness, when we see that word righteousness, we need to have a smile on our face, brothers and sisters. Sometimes when we read God's Word, we look like we've been weaned on a sour pickle. Right with God. We have to be right with God. No one else. Right with God. That breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we're going to talk about the sandals, the shoes. I didn't know this until I read one of our books about the Roman soldier, but on the bottom of their sandals, they would put nails in the bottom of their sandals. Why? Why would a Roman soldier put nails on the bottom of their sandals? What's that? Grip the ground. Brother Mike's in my head. What sport do we have right now that's popular that just started this weekend? You have to wear the proper cleats. You have an offensive line and a defensive line. And what's their goal? To push one another. And if you don't have the proper footwear, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get injured. You're going to slide back. Does the Bible ever tell us that we have to retreat, brothers and sisters? It says to keep going forward. Move forward. We have the banner. Our banner is washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. We cannot retreat. We have to go forward. And our goal is what? Heaven. Our goal is heaven. And we have to be able to stand. Yes, there's going to be the good days and there's going to be bad days. But we have to stand firm.
Jason,
yes, brother.
In verse number 13, we have that word stand, which means to oppose. Same word as in James chapter 4, verse number 7. Resist the devil, oppose him. Mm-hmm. Really what God is asking us to do is just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Show up. And I like how you said, no retreating.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no protection on the backside. But I do want to make this point. If you look at that word stand, verse number 13 and verse number 14, because I show up and oppose, then I can stand still.
Mm-hmm.
I can stand firm, like the point you just made. Excellent point. Standing firm. But you won't stand firm if you don't show up. So we got to show up.
Yes.
So
you
can stand firm.
You have, thank you, Brother Mike. You have to be able to show up to fight this battle. You cannot be a reservist. We are on the battle line. We are in the front because, brothers and sisters, we are the only ones. We are the only ones that are on God's side. The devil has everybody else. The devil has the denominational world. The devil is setting back every time that the Lord church fights over stuff. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm on the truth. Yes, brother.
You got to put it on before you can stand up.
Yes.
You wouldn't show up to battle without having gotten your dress first. It was a very systematic study. It's good. But I was comparing those words there. Put on. Again, get yourself dressed and then stand up.
Yes, you have to.
You can't stand without it
on. Yes, you have to put on. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of myself. No. As Brother Brian and Brother Mike said, to put on, we have to show up. This whole armor of God, it never talks about the backside, does it? Not one description of the backside. That means we cannot retreat. And brothers and sisters, where does it say when we take it off? When do we take this armor of God off? The only time that we take it off is when my heart stops beating and I die. And I lay my armor on the side and hopefully my children that I've taught them in the truth, they put that armor on. That's our goal. For our children. And Brother Royce, just a moment ago on the way here, we were talking about how wicked this country and this world is. And it is because the devil is in control of it. The devil is the one that's in charge of this world, somewhat. We know God is in control of everything, but the devil has his ways. And what's amazing about the Bible, in 1 John, let's go over there real quick. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible reads, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us, in Him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Brothers and sisters, those three things I just said, that the Bible just said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, that's the devil's playbook. That's his only, he only has three plays in his playbook. And what's amazing is we have his playbook, the Bible. God gave it to us, didn't he? He gave us the devil's playbook. And we can defeat the devil because we have his what? We have his playbook. You know, the Washington football teams, they're still the Redskins, I'm sorry. I know Brother Mike loves the Washington Redskins. He used to. He used to. For just a moment, we're just going to play this real quick. I used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. But if the Washington Redskins ever got the Dallas Cowboys playbook, would they be excited? They would be excited. We have the devil's playbook. So we have that preparation of the gospel of peace.
Jason,
yes, brother.
Can you read 2 Corinthians 2:11?
Yes, sir. You want to go ahead and read it? Go ahead and read it, Brother Mike.
Let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Why? Because of what you just said.
Yeah. We have his place.
That's right.
And you know, and it goes all the way back to the garden, correct? When Satan came and tempted Eve, what three plays did he use? The lust of lie, the pride of life. He used all three of them even then. He doesn't change. Do we have a problem? I shouldn't have flipped. Hold on. Let me get back to 1 John chapter 2. Do we have a problem with the lust of the flesh today? We cannot drive down, and it's amazing. We live in Tarrant County. When you cross Dallas County, it is like going into Sodom and Gomorrah. I say it's like. The billboards change. The atmosphere changes. I have to tell Hazel, and especially Hazel, to close her eyes because there are some billboards that I don't want her to see. Because it's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. Do we have that problem today? We do. We've always had that problem. 2 Samuel, what happened to King David? He was supposed to be out in the battle. They were out in the battle and war. And King David was staying in his palace. And he looked over and he saw who? Bathsheba. He looked. Brothers and sisters, he looked. But what did he do? He lusted. He wanted her. What did King David, what was he supposed to do? When he saw that Bathsheba bathing, he should have went, oh, she's bathing. Oops. And looked the other way, correct? He should have looked the other way, but he didn't. He lusted. He said, go get her. And what happened? It snowballed, didn't it? That one sin, he lied with her, she became pregnant, and what did he do? What did he do? He tried to cover it up. Not once, not twice, but how many times? Three times. And what's amazing, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, what does the Bible call? What does the Bible say about David? He was a man after God's own heart. How can he become the man after God's own heart? Repentance. Just read the next chapter. As the old radio announcer Paul Harvey said, here's the rest of the story. When Nathan the prophet came to him, Nathan the prophet told him about, gave him that parable. About this man had that little ewe lamb, correct? And he loved that little ewe lamb. And this rich man came in and stole that ewe lamb and killed it. And what did David say? That man shall be put to death. What he did. And what did Nathan say? You are that man. You know, sometimes I could be in some sandals and I wish I could have been at that scene. Because Nathan could have had his head cut off. Because what was David? He was the king. He could have said goodbye. But Nathan said, no, you are that man. And David repented.
Jason,
yes, sir.
Having on the whole armor of God will position a man to do what David did.
Yes.
He made a mistake, but he was willing to make it right when he was corrected.
Yes.
And so you can disarm yourself with the armor by being arrogant and prideful, thinking that you have not sinned. And that's 1 John 8.
Yes.
We have no sin, we lie.
Yes.
The truth is not in us. Excellent point.
Yes. And then also, the lust of the eye. Oh, excuse me, the pride of life. Do we have that problem today? Yes. The pride of life. We have that over and over again. So I'm going back to the armor of God, the gospel of peace. And what does the word gospel mean? Good news. And what does peace mean?
Stay on track.
Brothers and sisters, I know we have leaders of this nation, of our local government, our state government, our federal government, but they're never going to find peace until they know Jesus Christ, until they dive into the Bible. That's the only peace that we have, correct? This Bible that we have, that's our only peace. The gospel, the good news. And then verse 16. Above all, take up the shield of faith, which will be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Is that what your Bible says? All the fiery darts. So we're talking about the shield. And I remember when I was in Bible class and we were going over the armor of God. And that shield came up, and it was just a circular shield. There were two different types of shields that the Roman soldiers had. They had one that was close combat, it was a circular shield. But when they went into battle, it was a shield that covered from their shoulders all the way down to their feet. And that's what the Roman soldier that was on guard, that's the shield he was using. And brothers and sisters, that shield, when we put it up, it will quench all the darts of the wicked one. And again, remember, we're in this together. When you put on your armor, you're in this warfare. When I put in my armor, we're on the same team, and we're doing our going marching to the cross. And we have that shield up. The devil has no chance whatsoever. Does he? He can fire all those darts and they just go flinging off from our shield. But what if I drop my shield? What if I drop my shield? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to die, right? But guess what? What's amazing is Sister Brumback, she has her shield up. And I'm standing right beside Sister Brumback. Guess what? She can pick up her shield and guard it. Until I pick up mine. Because we're in it together. What's one of the qualifications of an elder? What does Acts chapter 20, verse 28 say? Sorry, my brain, no qualification, just neutral. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Talk about the elders, correct? Shepherd of the overseer. Let's go read it. I thought I had it. And we're in the book of Hebrews in class, and all my memorization is in the book of Hebrews right now. I thought I had it. Let's go. Verse 28, verse 20. 20. I knew that looked wrong. Chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take up for yourselves and all the flock among the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which was purchased with His own blood. So what is the elder supposed to do? Shepherd. He's supposed to what, Brother Mike? What is the elder supposed to do? Shepherd. He's supposed to protect. We are a sheep, bless their hearts, they're not very smart, are they? I've only worked one time with sheep and I'm done. I don't want to work with them again. They were like a group of kindergartners. They were flying everywhere. It felt like I was back at Camp Ida trying to get the kids to go to the camp where they're supposed to go. So those shepherds, they're supposed to protect. So they can keep us, their shields up in front of us to keep us safe as well. Y'all need to get a new clock. It's going too fast. Verse 17. Now take up the helmet of salvation. So now we're talking about the helmet. What did that helmet, when that Roman soldier put on that helmet before he went into battle, what did that helmet protect? What vital organ? Our brain. If you did not have that helmet on when you went into the battle, you were a goner. You were done. But it says, take up the helmet of salvation. That salvation is another word that we need to smile about. Why? Why should be excited about the word salvation? Means to be delivered. Thank you, brother. Delivered from what? Sin. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Every part of the armor of God that we've already talked about. We've talked about the what? The what was the first part? First armor. The belt. What was the second one? Breastplate. What was the third? Sandals. What was the fourth? Shield. What was the fifth? Helmet. All five of them, are they on offense or defense? Defense. Our only one that we have, the only one that we can strike back is what, Brother Mike? The sword. The sword, and it's the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, I know some of y'all are thinking, I know he's going to go there, and we are. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible reads, for the Word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're going to stop right there. The Bible is, the Word of God is alive. Brothers and sisters, we are to read God's Word not once a month, once a week, daily. Acts chapter 7, verse 11, they read the Scriptures daily. And that's what we have to do. And it becomes alive. Brothers and sisters, if I close this book up right here, if I close this the book up, the Bible, and I put it on my bookshelf, or I put it on my coffee table, it turns into just another book. It's when we open up God's Word and we apply it to our lives, that's when it becomes alive. And it helps us to fight the devil. We have to study God's Word. Does that mean we have to know every little minute detail about God's Word? No, we have to know the big parts, but there are some things that are tough to know, correct? I'm looking at an audience, it's a couple of men that have gone through preaching school. And there's some times where you scratch your head and go, I've read that verse, but then you're in class and you're going, wait a minute. That's what that really means? I've read that verse wrong all my life. Why? Because it became alive and it changed me for the good. The Word of God, the Word of God is alive. And there's another tool that God gives us. In verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's another armor that we get to have, isn't it? Prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, what does the Bible say? Pray without ceasing. That means pray anytime. Pray in the good times and pray in the bad times. But when do we normally pray? The bad times, don't we? When we get that telephone call. When we get that telephone call that one of our loved ones died or they were in a horrible accident, that's when we pray. We need to pray in the good times, correct? We need to pray that when we're able to come together as God's people back in this one place, correct? I was telling Miss Tony when I had COVID back in November, and I was in the hospital, I didn't know if I was going to come back. I was scared. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But when I walked in, when I was clear to go, and I said in the first time in the Lord's church, and that first song started, I tried to sing, but tears just flowed down my eyes. I was with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I was with my family. And there was no better place than right then. Yes, COVID is scary. Yes, it's scary. But what is John chapter 14 tell us? Let not your what? Your heart be troubled. What's prepared for us, Brother Mike? It's not a physical mansion, is it? But it's a spiritual mansion. He has a place for us in heaven reserved for us. And we can go to Him in prayer, verse 18, anytime. And what's amazing in prayer, and one of our instructors was talking about this, that I never thought of. But when we pray to God, the Godhead, all three of them are active. God is listening. Our prayers are going through who? Jesus. And who is helping us pray? The Holy Spirit. All three of them are working on us. Or when we pray. Pray all the time. Yes. Pray all the time. And God wants us to pray. He wants to hear from His children, doesn't He? I'm looking out in the audience that they have. Y'all have some people in the audience that have grown children, that have moved off and started their own lives. But when your grown children call you from time to time, how does it make you feel? Makes you feel good. It puts a smile on your face. Brother Mike, when your daughter that lives in Bryan College Station, she's still there, correct? The son. They're still in Bryan College Station, correct? When they call you, how does it make you feel, Evan? You start smiling your whole day. When we pray to God, in essence, God is excited to hear us pray. The God that created this world, that created us and all of us, and knows us better than we know ourselves, He's excited when we pray. Shouldn't that make you feel good? Pray. Praying always. Praying in the good times and praying in the bad times. Being watchful, verse 18. Being watchful for what? Watchful. We have to be on guard, don't we? So we don't stumble. So we have to keep on that whole armor of God. Every part of the armor of God, we have to keep it on. We cannot take it off. But if we do, we're in trouble. Because what does the Bible also talk about, describe the devil in 1 Peter? He is a what?
Roaring lion.
Roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. I'll end it with this. I remember when I was growing up watching a documentary on lions. And over in Africa, they say lions average, they sleep about 20 hours a day. And you look over, you see documentaries. I know everybody has seen pictures about lions, and their pride is asleep. But there's always one awake. And what is that one lioness looking? What is that one lioness doing when she's awake? She's watching. She's watching the zebra or the wildebeest or the buffalo walking past. And what is she doing? That lioness is looking at the ones that are lagging behind, the ones that are limping, the ones that are sick. And what is that lion thinking? Lunch. Brothers and sisters, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Because we're in a warfare against the devil. We are in a battle every day with the devil. The devil does not leave us. As it says in Luke, the devil didn't leave Jesus. If he didn't leave Jesus alone, do you think he's going to leave Jason Ader alone? No, he's going to try to tempt me. He's going to try to throw things in my way to try to make me stumble and say, you know what, I can take off that breastplate of righteousness. I can drop my shield. We have to be strong, brothers and sisters. We have to be strong in God's Word and only God's Word. Brothers, I know that I look out and there's a lot of preachers out there. And I know y'all have libraries. I have a library now as well. I didn't think I was ever going to have this many books. But I do now. My poor wife, and we live in a 2-bedroom apartment. Bless, and she's a saint. Because I have so many books that are just coming out of everywhere. But brothers and sisters, the only book that I really need is right here. Yes, those books, those lectureship books, I don't care if they're from Southwest. I don't care if they're from Brown Trail. I don't care if they're from Memphis School of Preaching. I don't care if they're from South Haven, Mississippi. Why? Because they are just written by men. And they make mistakes. Those are some good lectureship books. Wonderful, but they're just tools. This book right here is my final authority. We cannot go and just read what the newest fad, the newest thing coming out. And we don't need to read and just take to heart some man that is a denominational preacher that cannot understand. He's so wonderful, he's so smart, but he cannot understand the simple plan of salvation. We have to put on that whole armor of God. And we have to stand firm. Thank y'all so much for your fine attention.